I will this evening talk to you a little bit about how you can make best use out of your time here, what principles you might like to try, which will bring you to a new space in your life. And I will also invite you to go with me on a little meditational journey. At the end, we will conclude the evening, like we always do, with a little kirtan, and in this way enter the retreat. And this session is called Entering the Retreat. Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Paskatyari Satarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitana Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Garadhara Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I want to welcome all of you, and I want to say to your retreat. A retreat is something which was done in old times quite often. I know that one Chinese emperor had a golden bathing tub in which he would take a bath every morning, and in the golden bathing tub there was some inscription. It said, "Man, every day renew yourself." Going on a retreat means really that, to renew ourselves, to come into contact with that little source of energy which is so often silent, which in our busy life is so often overlooked and not assessed. In a retreat, we try to find the way, our personal way, to that little source of energy which rests within us in the sacred space of the heart. In India, going on a retreat was something which was done every 6 months in the olden times. You would go into what they called a house within the house. Let me explain. They had one house with windows facing south and north, and inside the house, with a distance of about 1 meter to the outer walls, another house with windows facing east and west. So when you would go into the house within the house, you would really go back into a situation from which you started your life in this life, the womb of the mother. You would only have indirect sounds and indirect light. And inside that sacred space, you would just read sacred scriptures and chant sacred mantras. The idea was that from that outer space, the house within the house, you would find your inner space by the help of divine sound vibrations and sacred scriptures, which would help you to go the journey within you. And then, when you would finish your retreat after 1 day, 3 days, sometimes a week, you would have new strengths, strengths which you would find within, and then you would live your life on the basis of the strengths. Going on a retreat was something common, something ordinary, something necessary, something as important as physical hygiene. Nowadays, retreats are again coming into fashion, and I'm sometimes afraid of this, because a fashion tends to be something outside, something external. You wear a fashionate coat, for instance, or a fashionate, this I don't know because I'm a monk, do you wear a fashionate lipstick? Maybe not, but you know what I mean. But retreats are really not a fashion in that sense, that I was on such and such retreat, and I will go in such on such and such retreat. Retreat is something personal, something private, something not to be worn on your sleeve to show and impress an outside audience. I myself go on retreats every year, where I just hide somewhere under a tree or in a cave, and for 1 month I'm just from morning till evening doing my meditation, and then I find the strength to go and travel all over the world, battle jet lag. I'm not yet so successful, I'm just still in Europe with my biological clock, but it will come, it will come. And then get the strength really to, I guess, to really believe in the sentence that impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. Yes, going on retreat and assessing that inner strength within us can make us do the impossible, something which is outside of the ordinary range of our possibilities. See, everyone who has come today to this retreat has brought a little circle with him
or herself. It is a circle surrounding us in an invisible way. It's a circle which has a demarcation line that is our self-chosen limitations. And we rarely cross this circle because we think it is not possible. Going on a retreat can help you to extend the circle more and more so that at one stage it even disappears. On the retreats which I teach, I have guidelines. And I just want to represent them to you. There are six powerful guidelines which are taken from sacred scripture. And those of you who take notes might like to take notes for them, but you can also just listen. It's very important that you separate yourself while you are on the retreat from the outside world. And I highly recommend that you minimize communication with the external world. I already know, and this is not our own doing, that your mobile phones don't apparently work in here. Have you noticed that? That's not our trick or our... We have not done something with the mobile phone companies and bribed them or so. Bob Thurman explained to me, it's somehow in this area there is an iron, it's almost like an iron bowl in which we are, and we are hermetically sealed off from the constant rays of diversion, that's our mobile telephone rays. Of course, if you are very insistent, you can find landlines and I guess also computer things, but going on a retreat is best done if you really go within the house, or separate yourself from the outside world where you're constantly getting input. And so I highly recommend to you to have a minimal use of internet and I think TVs or whatever. Then I recommend to you a second exercise that you could join a community of seekers. We are all here for 1.5 days all together. Together on a boat, and all of us came because we are seeking for something, a spiritual experience. So join the community of seekers. It is sometimes maybe frightening, oh, so many unknown people, and what do they think of me if I don't know so much what bhakti is? Don't worry. We all don't know what bhakti is. It is always deeper realizations of the same thing. And I think even those of us who are practicing for a long time like to keep ourselves in a beginner's mind so that we can learn deeper aspects of what we are practicing. Another thing is... which I really want to say, take complete responsibility for your experience. Yes, we have facilitators here, but no one can eat for you, no one can breathe for you, no one can experience love instead of you. You have to, and no one can go on retreat instead of you. So take responsibility. You have come for two days or so, and please become like I remember as a child I read Jack London from America. He wrote a book about the gold rush, and everyone who came to Alaska was just going after the gold and so on. Please go after the gold. Please take responsibility for this, that you want to dig the gold, you want to get it. We will try to help you as facilitators as much as possible, but you need to have that spark of enthusiasm or motivation glowing. Now I will say something which, once I said it, someone heard it in a retreat. It was in Russia. One month ago, I had 500 people on that retreat, and so I said point four. And after I had said it, I noticed two people were walking out with white faces and just running out. Please don't do this. Please listen to me. It is a little shocking, but it is good. Enter is symbolic death. Symbolic, not otherwise. What I mean with this is cut the connections to the past. We all had a past before we came here, our past experiences and so on. But wouldn't it be nice to be free from the past for a moment? And enter what is now present before us. So in that way, I think we should just let the past go, almost like when we leave our material body at the time of our death, we let the past go and put it into the constantly filling pages of human failures. Of human victories. Let the past go and just in this way cut yourself off to open yourself up for a new birth, something new which can fill the old place. Our hearts are so full with our experiences, so full with our expectations, so full with the past. Let it go. Let something new, let us make space that something new can come. And the next is, that's the last thing, which I always like to say, depend on divine grace. Now, I was just recently thinking about my own past, as you can maybe hear from my German without an English accent. This is how I describe my English, my attempts to speak English. I'm speaking German without an English accent. I come from Germany, and I'm born really in a family of achievers. My father was one of those who rebuilt Germany, which was in ashes after the Second World War. And from the, whenever we would sit together and eat, that was mostly in the evening when the family came together, our father would tell us that he had, that he is planning to build a tunnel, an autobahn, a big new train station, and so on and so forth. And he imbibed, he somehow spoon-fed this. You have to achieve something in life. And sometimes when we go on a retreat, we also come like this. I must be enlightened after 1.5 days or 2 days afterwards. Otherwise I will ask my money back. It's sometimes very, very disturbing to be in that achiever's mood always and become impatient. It is better to enter a receiver's mood. That is, to open our hearts to the subtle hints which come as signposts as our journey, on our journey, our life journey. These subtle hints which tell us, do this, go in this direction, look here. But if you're always looking like this, when will the enlightenment fall upon me? You might not look to the signpost which have been placed on your journey to show you the way. So it's good to enter into a receiver mood and step out of the achiever mood. This most properly is the summary of my 6 guidelines which I would like to tell you. Maybe you forget the other points and they are not so important. It's good if you can go into another modus of being during the retreat. And the modus which I highly recommend to you is to enter a receiver's mood and exit the achiever's mood. I'm sure that for each one of us who has assembled here in this community for the Bhakti retreat, there are some gifts waiting, gifts which will be given to us when our hands are open. Receiver's mood means open hands, open hearts. Achiever's mood means I'm doing it now, like this. All right. Now I would like to come to the main part of my presentation. Don't worry, it will not be very long. It will be, but it will be highly how do you say? You will have an opportunity to do something in it. I want to tell you about an experience which I had where I entered my own sacred space. As I told you, I come from a family in Germany which is extremely goal-oriented, and even in my spiritual life I have been sometimes driven by goals. Good goals, but still I was very much driven, and I experienced a certain tenseness as a result. It was, I tried to do these programs, and I founded many communities. I'm one of those who builds retreat centers. At the moment I built one in India. And this historic curse of the German people has followed me almost like a shadow which follows us everywhere where we go. That curse of everything, in order to be, I have to have something, I have to achieve something, I have to produce something. And it creates, when you think, I'm only good when I have what I don't have at the moment, you are bound for trouble. Because whatever, there will always be something which you don't have. So that one day, that happened, I think, about 1.5 months ago, I was sitting at my favorite bench before a lake, and I was chanting. And all of a sudden I noticed something which I've noted when I'm on retreat in India. The animals came around me. A shy deer came close, some ducks sat just next to my feet, and even Hubertus came, Hubertus is a wild boar, and they usually don't come close to human beings. And he had a polite distance of 10 meters because he doesn't smell so good, and he knows that, I think. But animals stopped to... They came into this atmosphere of peace which was settling into my heart. I continued to chant, became very happy. And all of a sudden I noticed something. I noticed that I was breathing. I mean, you all breathe, we all breathe, but we hardly notice. And as I looked around, I became aware that all of creation was breathing, including Hubertus. And as I looked more around, or thought deeper, I noticed that I was never aware that I was breathing. I noticed that I participated in a divine arrangement, that although I was not aware that I was breathing, I was still breathing. And then I noticed, I felt, that I'm like someone who had a traffic accident, still lies on the street, but there is someone who saves him by breathing through him. I don't know the English word. The German word would be jemand hat mich beatmet. Yes, now you've learned some German. But do you have this in America? Someone lies and can't breathe, and a rescue worker comes. I thought the whole creation is being breathed by someone else than me, because I didn't make the arrangement, nor was I aware. All I could do is something foolish and decide to not move. Then I would faint. And then, anyways, the breathing would continue, because it's an arrangement. And this was for me a breakthrough experience. I don't have to do everything. I can let go, and I can surrender to the Supreme who breathes life into the whole creature, including Hubertus and myself. This was something so profound. I don't know, because it's so simple. You may think this is very simple. It is very simple. But it is very deep. And as I became aware, I can let go. Everything is all right. There is someone supreme watching over everything, including my own life. I felt all of a sudden that little... something. It made a click. I was totally relieved. It seemed as if an iron lock had opened, a lock which closed my heart. The heart was relieved. I was relaxed. I was extremely happy, and I looked at all the animals, and they seemed to not at me and said, see, we also feel it. And I felt in harmony. I was again part of a divine arrangement. The separated finger had become connected to the whole body again, and I felt relieved. I had entered by mercy, I would say, because I was not initiating this realization, into the sacred space of the heart. Now, what is that mysterious sacred space? Some of you must be familiar with the Upanishad. The Upanishads compare our body with a town. A town with nine gates. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, and two gates underneath the belt. 9 gates altogether. There's traffic going on through these gates. Things are coming in, things are going out. It's a town, our body, a town of 9 gates. Inside this town is a precious house. It's the house of the heart. And inside that heart, you will find the most precious of all rooms, which is in Sanskrit, well, there are many, Hriday Akash is the Bhagavatam verse, word, and here I've written it down somewhere. It's called the Dahara Akash. It's a small room, but it has unlimited space so that all the worlds and all the gods fit into this sacred space. It's small, but it has unlimited capacity. In this room, there resides, I'm quoting now from the scripture, the eternal Atman, the eternal soul. No misery and no death can enter this room, the sacred space of the heart. One who finds his way into this room is no longer a slave to unreal desires. These unreal desires which drive us come from the mind. But when you come into this inner space, you will find your real desires. And a person who has been successful, a person who has been successful and who has found the space, listen to this, whatever sankalpa he puts into his mind, he will be able to attain it. Sankalpa means an intention. Whatever he intends, if he is in contact with that inner space, that will become truth for him. He will see the realization of this. Only someone who is disconnected from this powerhouse, so to say, where the eternal soul and also Paramatma, or God, resides, he will experience that his intentions are often not fulfilled. It says further, an ordinary person finds this room only when he has entered the stage of dreamless sleep. It's amazing, isn't it? Do you know what is dreamless sleep? It's quite rare. We all usually dream. Is this our Rukmini? It is?
This is my mother's sister. This is my aunt.
Aha.
Susan.
Acha. Some familiarity there. Yes. Listen to this. Dreamless sleep is something which my assistant Gaurahari is blessed with. But I have it very rarely. It's a state of no mind. That means the mind is no longer active. And when you have this, you will enter very deeply into that, but unconsciously, into that space of the heart. And you will connect there the rays which emanate from God's personality. What this means in practical terms is, when you wake up, you feel blissful. Have you ever had this? You wake up and you feel like, wow, I thought yesterday everything is bad, but today I know everything is good. I just know it. And you go out and you tell people, I wish you a wonderful good morning. And they look at you as if you are different. And that is very rarely it happens. To children it happens often. We grown-ups are a little complicated. But this is not what has happened. Unconsciously someone has contacted the inner space and has a Brahman experience. I will only don't worry. It's not necessary that you hear this. But you have to enter this sacred space consciously. Only then can you discover your real desires and live them. In other words, most people or ordinary people know of this blissful state after dreamless sleep, but they can't really make use out of it because everything happens so unconsciously. They just feel good, you know. But those who know how to enter this space properly, consciously, will find their treasures there consciously, and they will take these treasures with them into their ordinary lives. You know, discovering the sacred space is not an experience which makes you, I hope I know the right English word, autistic. Do you have autistic people who become so withdrawn that they can't communicate or react properly? If you want to know what is autistic, I might often refer you to Tsipi. Tsipi is psychologically totally astute. Sometimes people say, when you turn to spiritual life, you will become so withdrawn and you will not be able to function in the world any longer. Well, that is not really entering the sacred space. It is something else. When you are really in connection, says the Upanishad, if you consciously enter the sacred space, then you will discover your real desires and you will be able to live them in the world. This is something from the Chandogya Upanishad, and I thought it's interesting. My dear retreat guests, every human being needs to have this sacred space. One needs to have this private inner space to be strong. We need to know what we hold dearest. We need to sometimes protect this inner space from the outside influences to which, out of our weaknesses, we are still a little bit susceptible and so on. What you have in your inner space is something which is really for you and which you share only with someone who's very close to you. It's something like love. Love is something which burns in the house of your heart. And when you carry it to the outside world, if you want to present yourself as a great lover and a great mystic and a great accomplished person, and if you share what is in your sacred space with just anyone and everyone, you will lose it. You will lose it like you will lose the flame of a candle when you bring it from a sheltered place into a place where there is wind and storm and drafts and so on. There are four roads which lead into this inner sacred space, and we will talk about them in our bhakti retreat. It starts all with the mind, where you, I will say it briefly here, I want to say, what I will say now is, I will offer something from a tradition, but then I will make an exercise with you at the end, in a few minutes, so that you can experience it. I recommend that here you don't write it down, because it will only, you know, the inner space is not something which is on your notebook. It is something which you experience when you go a road inside. And I will now mention the roads, and I will then go with you on one road inside in a moment. Here comes the theoretical information, and very soon comes the practical experience. It is a verse in the Gita which pronounces four practices to access the inner space. Think of me, says Krishna. Think of me in deep absorption. When you think of Krishna in deep absorption, or think of God in deep absorption, you will become godly. It's just like, do you know that this cloth was not always saffron? It was white. But then I put it into a saffron tub, my bathing tub. And then when I took it out, it was also colored saffron. So when we engage our mind in meditation, the same thing happens. Our mind will enter a different world, a different bathing tub. And as it comes out, it will be colored. It will have absorbed the qualities of this world. So that's the first road to the sacred space. You think about spiritual things, like, and as you do this, your mind will become colored and absorbed, and this itself will give life to your sacred space. Then you do something with your senses. That's the second road. It starts with the mind, and then you use your senses. We will do this very soon when we sing. Then you go with your heart and you worship God. And finally, you place yourself in an obeisances before the altar of the divine, and that will also help you to enter the sacred space. All these four practices can be done in one practice, and it is this practice which we will learn a lot about. I will teach you in my workshop on Saturday, that's tomorrow, but Gauravani and Kanamrita and Janavi and our Kirtan stars will even teach you now, when we finished. You can sing, and as you sing divine mantras, you will travel a road which will bring you inside. You can close your eyes, or if you like to keep your eyes open, you can look at an altar, or if you like to just be for yourself, you are a little bit for yourself. That's the idea. And you travel a certain road, and then all of a sudden, you will feel that what I described to you when I was sitting on my favorite bench with Hubertus 10 meters away from me. You are in that space. You will see. And I want to do now this experiment for you, with you. Not with you, for you. I will lead you into a guided. I will lead you into a type of meditation, and from that meditation, we will start to sing. Those of you who know to sing the Maha Mantra can join us. Those of you who are waiting to learn it can just hear it and let it act on you. This is how we will conclude the evening. At the end of the evening, I will make a sound. Let me see. Yeah. It's here. This will will be the sound. Let me now do some organization. Don't worry, I won't build a retreat center now. I won't. This is for the band. It's not for you. You can see. Good. Dobro, would you like to position yourself already? Because it's like this. We will meditate now, and then I will give you a sign, and then you start. So please don't meditate. Look at me. Yeah. I have often, you know, this is an important information. This will be so good. How are you? Are you alert?
Yes.
Yeah? Tired or?
Tired.
Little tired? Would you like to, would we like to make maybe just a 30 seconds physical exercise to wake the system up? Because we have more benefit when we are not struggling with, oh yes, am I meditating or am I sleeping? So it will be intense. It's from Germany. Don't worry. I won't do German yoga with you. So please rise. So I request you to just mildly look left and right. Then up and down. I think you all do yogas, and I don't need to tell you to respect your borders. Place your hands on your shoulders and just let them circle a little backwards. It's just to get the circulation going. You look so much like your sister. All right, then the other way around, forward. Excellent. Now stretch out your arms, please. Try to breathe deeper. Other way around. The best is coming. Place your hands kindly on your hips and just move them in a circle. Other way around, please. Okay, now I will place myself like this. Please stand, being aware that your big toe and your small toe and your heel touches the ground. Do a little grounding, just a little. This will be very good. Now, go. Take your shoulders up, and as you roll them down, come with your palms forward. Yeah? Is it clear? You just go like this, roll them back, and then come with your palms forward. Then,
On an exhale, go down. Now, kindly, when you go down, bring your hands forward and bring your second behind backwards, as if you want to sit down on a chair, but there is no chair. We have designed this exercise for your shoulder dulal. It's something you can do in your office also. This is called pumping the blood everywhere. You can do it, no problem. Whenever you go down, be careful to put your sacred behind backwards. And breathe out. Doesn't matter when you sweat, it's desired. So we will do it 5 more times. 1, 2, 3, 2, 4, 5. Very good. Now, on an exhale, please roll down as if you are an ice cone which melts in the hot New York summer. Gently go down. Stay there. And on an exhale, come up. Is it better? More awake?
Yes.
It brings a lot of good sweat, isn't it? Natural sweat. I guess all sweat is natural. You may sit down. I request you to now look around in the room and just observe what you see. You can look at each other, look at the altar. We will soon close our eyes. Withdraw your attention from the millions of thoughts currently being still in your mind, and just enter the present moment fully. We will try to find the road to that sacred space inside. Stretch a little and find a very comfortable sitting position. And sit up tall. Take a few deep breaths, and you can do this best by really exhaling fully. And that will help you to inhale fully. It's very, very, very simple. Breathe deeply in and out several times. Try to breathe without making a sound, just very subtle, but very deep. And when you are ready, close your eyes.
kindly focus on observing your breathing. Now, please don't try to force your breath. Simply observe how the air goes in and out. Breathe in through your nose and out through your nose. And just observe it. The breath comes in. This will go now a step further. Observe yourself observing your breathing. Step one step back. Your body is filling in with air and exhaling the air, and you are asked to observe that. Now observe how your mind is observing. This will help you to connect with your identity as a spirit soul, beyond both your physical body and your subtle mind. Just observe. Switch to the being mode. If any physical sensation should arise, let them pass. If any thoughts should appear, allow them to pass. You are now like a mountain, and your thoughts and feelings are like passing clouds. Simply concentrate on your ingoing and outgoing inhalations and exhalations. As you breathe in, observe that you are breathing in. Be aware, fully aware, that you are breathing in. And once again, observe that you observe. Whenever you exhale, observe that you are breathing out. Be aware that you are breathing out. And once again, observe that you observe. Now, slowly and gently, bring your attention to your heart space. Simply tell yourself, I am. How does it feel to be? Now tell yourself, I am eternal. Try to enter the awareness of being eternal. Never born, never dying. Tell yourself, I am eternal. How does it feel? As you continue to breathe in and out in a gentle way, tell yourself, I'm eternal, a part of Krishna. I'm full of bliss, full of knowledge, eternal. I am an eternal part of God. This newly created space is not about your roles in this life, what you did before you came here. It's not about your present body, not about any positions you hold. For a moment, let this all be part of the past. This is not about your responsibility. This is about the fullest expression of you. A part of God. Remain in this space. From this space, bring your awareness to the mantra which we will now chant together. There will be a voice chanting the mantra alone. Just hear it, let it enter you, and then sing it, repeat it, respond to it from the space of your heart, the space in which you are now.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama. Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Hare, Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama, Rama. Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare.
Let's all sing together. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna.
When you're ready, please rub your hands. Bring them to your eyes as if you do palming. Then bring them away from your eyes and look into the palms as if you're looking into them for the first time and recognizing the lines on them. Then return to room awareness. I want to thank you very much for giving your full attention to this opening of our Bhakti retreat. I recognize that we had a long day, most properly, and a long week and a long life before we came here. You did very well, and I really wish that you can make the best use of your retreat as we go to rest. I request you to think to answer one little question. Why have I come to this retreat? What is it that I'm aspiring or hoping to attain? And if you keep this question at the last thing you have before you go into hopefully dreamless sleep, then when you come tomorrow, when you wake up tomorrow and enter your day, you might find that this intention, which is clear in your mind, will be your best friend and accompany you through the morning, and you will certainly find what you have come to obtain here. Very happy to have such a sincere group. Can really feel the atmosphere is much softer than when you came.